Hello world, welcome to another episode of The Birds and the Bees. I'm your host, Colin Mill. I'm here with my two co-hosts. Guys, what you do?
Yo, it's K after Deaf French. How y'all doing?
Hey, it's your girl, Harley.
So we're back with another episode of The Birds and the Bees. You know what we do here. We come here and talk about your love life, your sex life, your relationships, you know. And of course, as always, this episode is brought to you by KinkyCandyOnline.com. Reminding you guys to keep it kinky.
Yeah.
So, guys, how are you guys feeling this week?
Oh, I am, extremely happy. Like, for the first time in a very long time, I feel like, you know what? I just might have a pretty good birthday.
Okay.
I just might.
Everything looking sweet right now.
Everything is looking like it's falling exactly where I need it to fall.
Yeah, I've been through a horror story, but then it's looking up now, so that's about it.
Well, I told you guys my Target story earlier, but I guess I'll share it with the audience. So, if you guys have been following me on my website, Colinmill.com, you know, recently I went and saw the Pikachu movie, and I got really excited for Pokemon all over again. I pretty much got sucked back into the fandom after not being around for 20 years. You know, when I left, it was only 150 Pokemon. Now there's now there's 800 of these dudes. Like, whoa, 800. Hold on. I know it's been 20 years, but Jesus. Hold on.
Yo, they just been reproducing.
Right? Like, hold on. They're like, no, we need to keep making money. We know you left. All right,
they
had to figure something out.
Elements and they put two and two together and got four.
But to make a long story short, I really wanted to get a Charizard card. I couldn't find a Charizard card, and I was contemplating buying this box set that guaranteed I was gonna get a Charizard card, but it was like $20, and it came with like a whole bunch of other cards in there, like a couple other booster sets or whatever. And when you know what I realized, looking at it, I'm like, yo, this is basically gambling for children. When we was kids, you didn't know what card you was going to get. You hoped that you got a Pikachu or something. You know, you open it, you get a Meowth. You get a Grimer.
No, the worst. Magikarp.
Oh, my God.
Why?
One of the most useless Pokemon.
Gambling. What? This thing was gambling. And I'm sitting here like, I can't believe they got me again. You know, but I'm now have to pay $20 for a guarantee to get a Charizard. I'm just like,
if you want it, $20.
Right?
It's just $20. You got to go for it.
How bad you want it.
Right? And I'm just sitting here like, and it also comes with other Detective Pikachu packs. And I'm just like, I already got enough Detective Pikachu packs just to prepare for the Pikachu Pokemon short that we were planning. So I'm like, I don't need that many more cards. I just want a Charizard. I'm not spending $20 on a Charizard. Now, especially because, you know, we got the auditions tomorrow, so we got to run out to space. Had to buy a tripod, had to print out scripts. So I'm just like, you know, there's a quote in the Bible where it's like, you know, there's a part of your life where you gotta be a man and put your child's things behind you. So I'm just like, I'm gonna put down a Charizard box set thingy and I'm just gonna walk away. I gotta leave this thing behind, right? So I'm placing it down and then I start seeing Detective Pikachu Pokemon wrappers laid out all over the place, like packets of them. And I'm just like, hold on now, what is this? I'm seeing like the whole packet is open, and I'm just like, oh, somebody was stealing cards. Oh, they out of control. Then I see the actual big, did the same thing I was about to buy, but now it was pretty much empty. The only one thing that was left was the giant Charizard card. And I'm like, oh, damn, somebody really, really wanted that card so bad. And I started seeing, I'm like, wait, what is that down there? Is that a Jigglypuff? I had to move the Yu-Gi-Oh box to a side. I'm like, hold on. I dropped everything that was in my hand. Start moving shit behind the counter and everything. I start seeing more cards. I'm like, is that a Psyduck? Hold on now. I was like, oh, man. Knowing them, they probably already took the Charizard. Oh, my God, it's a Charizard.
Charizard, I found you.
So, yeah, I take the Charizard. I don't know if it counts as stealing because I didn't open it. It was just there. I don't know if that counts.
Yo, that's lost
and
found.
That's damage.
That's not damage. You didn't damage it. It fell on the floor. It's technically garbage.
Either or. I saved $20 by being nosy and
trusting your
and
gut.
Looking for the item that you were really
right.
looking for.
You know, and that's the funny thing about opportunities. You know, they say, you know, if you're looking for it, you will find it. But, you know, if you're like, and that's the thing with opportunity. Sometimes opportunities go right by people, and because they're not thinking about that opportunity, you know, the same way you want a new car, but the opportunity come up where you were like,
I was about to say, it's so funny how Carl ended up saving like $20. And it's like today, I was literally like, without even thinking about it, when I called these people. So, pretty much, long story short, like my car, my dear truck, Bane, RIP, he got booted in my driveway. They came, picked him up, took him, and they were just like, like,
and the messed up thing is,
I cried. I was
They didn't even write down anything.
Nah, that doesn't matter. But to you. Today at work, you know, I'm upset, I'm depressed, and I call over to the office, and they're just like, $811. And I'm like, $811. Oh God. So I'm ready, like, just take my money and give me my truck. And she's just like, nope, we need this. And I'm just, like, calculating in my head, and it was well over $1,000. And I was just like, you know what? I hope you guys enjoy the truck.
And your truck now.
You can have the truck. And at that same time, I went online and found a car. French and I actually went today to look at the car, and it was posted for $900, and we're gonna get it for $7. So I'm actually like, we're actually coming out of pocket less for getting my truck back on the road. Well, not getting the truck back on the road, but getting him in the driveway just to sit there. Like, we're gonna pay the same amount and actually have a working vehicle taking us from point A to point B. I'm good.
Look at God. Y'all.
Keep the truck.
Look at God. That's wonderful.
And
that's
I had that truck for 20 years.
Sure. Well, time to start new, fresh, and moving forward.
Right.
Now.
But instead of moving forward, we're going to actually go back to our usual... Because if you guys don't listen to the show often, we have these segments. And the first segment of the week is the kinky history. Yeah. And the thing that made me think about this kinky history is when I was at Target today, you know, because I was really there looking for my tripod before I was looking at the Pokemon stuff. You know, as I'm sitting there, you know, I like to walk through the book aisles. I love looking at books. You guys know me. I'm a big-ass bookworm. I love books. Mm-hmm. So I'm going through the book aisle, and I'm seeing, you know, all the different Disney novelizations. You know, they had the book version of Dumbo. They had extra stories that happened before Endgame, where Thor and Groot and, what's the raccoon name again? I can't remember the raccoon's name. You know the raccoon
I'm talking about. I know the raccoon you talk about, but I don't know his name.
Rocket.
Listen, I'm just happy I know what raccoons are talking about.
Yeah, but there was books on, you know, their adventures before Endgame. I'm just like, man, Disney is just pushing out books. And then I thought there was like three different, like, there's a whole bunch of different Aladdin books.
Ooh, that's the next movie that's coming out, right?
Yeah, that's coming out next week.
May 24th. Oh, God, that's another one.
So, and I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking about the original story. I'm like, yo, the original story was kind of kinky and dangerous and scary at the same time. Like, if they knew, like, Aladdin probably would be a lot darker movie if it came straight from the original source.
So a lot of these freaking Disney movies,
a lot of them, yeah,
like
a lot of stories actually, like, are dark and
Disney
horrible.
Just prettied it up,
yeah,
smacked it with some, like, nah, we gotta slap a clown on it. And then we gotta
yeah, make it look pretty,
like, shoot.
So the original story was called 1001 Nights, and yes, 1001 Nights.
That's a lot of nights.
That's a lot of nights.
Sex or talking?
No. Well, let me tell you what happened. So the story is about this ruler, right? The Sasanian king who was ruling India and China, right? And he was shocked to find out that his brother's wife was unfaithful, and that his own wife's infidelity was, you know, out of control as well. So he's like, fuck that. I'm gonna kill her. Got her killed, right?
Oh,
right? Okay. So in his bitterness and grief, he decided that all women were the same. Like, fuck these hoes. All these hoes ain't nothing but, you know, what was it? Women ain't nothing but hoes and tricks. Yeah, that's what, so he was, you know, he was going ham. I'm trying to think of all the crazy shit but I can't think of any. That was the most crazy one I could think of. But yeah, all women are the same. They ain't shit. These hoes ain't loyal. I ain't doing this shit no more, you know? So he decided that he was just gonna go ahead and, you know, he's gonna soak his royal oats, right? But, you know, he was still bitter and shit like that. So he decided, all right, I'm gonna start marrying virgins, but I'm gonna kill them the next morning.
What?
Yep. That was his thing. He's like, I'm gonna marry them, I'm gonna fuck them, and I'm gonna fucking kill them off before she has a chance to violate me. I'll never let another woman violate me again. I will kill her before she even thinks about violating me again. So he will deflower a virgin and then murder her. You know? So, what do you call it? There was a point when they were just running out of virgins because they were just killing everybody. Yeah. So the guy who that he had, like, whose duty, the visor, whose duty was to provide him with the virgins or whatever, his daughter was, you know, offering herself up as a bride. Her dad's like, what you doing?
The fuck? Like, my question is, why would any, after a while, people have to be spreading the word, like, that this person is killing off a whole bunch of virgins. Like, I don't care if you the king or not.
Like, did he get married 2 weeks ago?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, I mean, I was at the wedding. I baked the cake.
No.
Another cake again?
Let me get somebody knocking on my door talking about the king will like your daughter.
Yo, what? No, first of all, marriage. What happened to the last chick? She fell into what? A knife?
Pineapples. Bro, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So on the night of their marriage, she begins to tell the king a tale, but she never ends it. And every day, she tells him another. You know, the story continues, and the king is just curious about how these stories end. So he's just forced to keep postponing the execution in order to hear the conclusion. And as soon as she finished one story, she continues with another. And you know, it just goes on for 1,001 nights.
Oh, she survived.
So she figured it out.
She's like, let me
she
talk.
She was the Einstein.
How many years is that?
She was.
Oh God.
Well, what do I call it?
6'9". Oh, shit.
You know, but eventually, you know, they end up having kids.
I'm pretty sure. She actually survived as his wife. We're talking about years.
And not until he sees the kids that he decides not to kill her. Like, you know what? We got kids now.
I don't think she's going to cheat.
And other things happened that made him distracted. But, you know, eventually he spares her life. But, you know, that's, according to history...
I mean, he had a laugh about it, though.
Heavily.
So, here's the thing when it comes to this story. So, one, the story is basically where we get the idea of cliffhangers from. Every time we watch a show, there's a cliffhanger or a comic book. Cliffhangers came from that story of, you know, like, oh, gotta wait till tomorrow to hear the rest of the story. Apparently, that also comes from that. And one of those stories that she told was a story about, you know, the Arabian Nights, which is also known as Aladdin through Disney's eyes. And that's the kinky history behind Aladdin.
So he kept her around because...
She told good stories.
Because curiosity killed the cat.
No, curiosity saved this shit.
Listen, he was curious. He was curious. Like, well, you know, if you want to know the rest of this story...
Like, oh, we got a genie?
Oh, we got a genie?
He got a genie?
We got a genie.
Is he going to...
The carpet can fly? I got to know.
I really don't know which is the difference.
There's a whole dance routine? What?
What was his three wishes?
Well, you know damn well the whole dance routine with Disney. That was not something. But
imagine though.
But from what I've heard, there was actually more than one wish. It wasn't one wish in the original story. In the original story, there was multiple wishes.
Isn't the missing wishes three? That's how.
In the movie, it's three.
Yeah.
But originally, I read.
If it was seven, I'd have been like, I want that one. I don't like Dragon Ball. You only get one.
That is actually an interesting story.
Right? I'm actually want to read it, the 1,001 Nights, just based over that. Like, what's that all about? You know, but,
If y'all want to know, that story
has come back since the story of Aladdin showed up, like, in the 18th century. And, you know, it's one of the books that's been adapted over and over and over and over again.
She probably wrote the book. She said, look, I told this story to save my life.
I can't remember what you call it. Because there's actually a couple live action Aladdin. This is the first Disney live action Aladdin. But a lot of, you know, and when it comes to the Disney one, a lot of characters are renamed. You know, the sorcerer, and you know, Jafar, you know, the princess, they're all renamed because her name wasn't Jasmine in the original one. And there was different motivations for why they wanted the genie. And what to call it? I don't think Genie got his freedom at the end. I don't think in the original one. I don't think so. Yeah. But, oh, and what do you call it? It went from China to the fictional Arabian city of Agrabah. Hmm. Yeah. So, the original one is in China.
Imagine Disney made it in China, like to set in China.
That would be something.
I mean, there are Indian Asians in China. So... You know, there is a Bollywood version of Aladdin too. It came out in 2009. I want to see. I guess that one, like, if Disney got a whole lot of dancing and singing in there, it's, imagine what the Bollywood one looks like. The Bollywood one probably would dance you to death, like. Like, it's beautiful, but every time I'm hanging with any of my Indian friends, like, hey, you want to check out a Bollywood movie? I'm like, sure. I'll be sitting there, and I'm just like, bruh, they dance for everything. Like, American musicals, we did, there's a lot of dancing, too, but... Whew.
My feet would be... Oh, God, no.
There's a video online where Will Smith decides he wanted to be in a Bollywood movie, and he decides to do a whole musical number. I want to see it. Yeah.
I can't do it with my feet.
There's a whole Jackie Chan movie where the movie ends with the Bollywood dance number. I kid you not. The movie ends. It was nothing but a huge fight scene all the way throughout the whole movie. Then at the end, here, big old Bollywood number.
Which movie?
I think it's one of Jackie's last movies, like 12 something. I give it a name. It's one of the movies he actually directed too, actually. But, you know, it's very family friendly, believe it or not. It's a very family friendly Jackie Chan movie. But I just remember just watching that scene. I was like, this is cute, but thank God it's at the end of the movie. I want to be able to do this the whole movie. Like, this would get annoying at one point. You know? I mean, it's a culture thing, you know? It works for some cultures. You know? I don't know how much dancing...
amount of determination to keep doing it for hours and your feet is not bleeding... I would hate to get into a fight with one of them dudes and they kick me. Like, that's a solid foot.
No, but I mean, what? You know, dancing for hours and everything.
I mean, they dance for
culture.
Days.
It's part of the culture. That's what they do.
Yeah, that's part of their culture, you know. And it's a beautiful thing. So if you like it, there's nothing wrong for liking it.
Oh, no. It's a beautiful thing. I like how, like, every culture is beautiful in their own way. And the way that they dance and they're so colorful.
Right.
The way that their clothes are.
So I think the movie was called Kung Fu Yoga. I believe it was that one.
I gotta see that.
Yeah, it was Kung Fu Yoga because it was released in India in February 3rd, 2017. So yeah. And you know, the ending dance number was choreographed by Farah Khan. Not Farah Khan, the Nation of Islam, but the person's name is Farah Khan. And, you know, they're Indian film director, you know, I think she's an actress, I'm sorry. And, you know, director, producer, actress, dancer, choreographer, you know, and she's known for all her, choreography on numerous, you know, dance routines in Bollywood movies. So shout out to all those people and everybody who loves Bollywood movies because, you know, we're going to do a Bollywood movie one day and it's going to look so, it's just like, what are they doing in Bollywood? But anyways, so... What is this tip of the week?
This tip of the week, I had it, and then I had to reload it. So it kind of sent me back to the top page.
Reload.
You got to reload it. Oh, I think I remember it's about, don't forget about the neck. Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't forget about the neck. It is a very sensitive area. I'm sorry, I'm still looking for it. I just remember. Don't neglect the neck. There we go. Found it, people.
Where's your source?
The source?
The website.
It's not a website.
It is a website. The website is menshealth.com.
Oh, Men's Health. So Men's Health is the source.
So it says, the neck is super sensitive, and it's one of the sexiest places to stimulate your partner during foreplay or intercourse. We recommend trailing your lips from... her collarbone to her jaw, then gently kissing her neck.
Yeah, guys, I hope y'all wrote that down.
Yeah, I have done that. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Just keep in mind how I started reading that fine, and as I got to that ending, like I started picturing it, I started like stumbling.
That does work.
Stop.
You know what's great? When I hear stories about people who don't do things like that in bed, I'm just like, how did you learn how to sex? Like, where, you know, like, I don't know. I've been talking to girls and they tell me the experience. I'm just like, that dude don't feel like he
knows what to tell.
No, he don't know nothing. These niggas don't know how to do shit. Like, they can just put their dick in and be like,
I'm done.
Like, hey, I'm having sex. This is sex, right?
It's just in and stays there. I'm in here. Motion.
You know, can you feel it? It's in there somewhere.
It's probably fucking, yeah, I can feel it. It's my leg, though.
Some dudes, they, you know, are selfish lovers. You know, and guys, if you want to be able to keep hitting it, don't be a selfish lover.
Be passionate.
Be very passionate. You know, my whole thing is like, you know, you start in romantic and then you treat, then you fuck like a slut later on, okay?
Exactly.
You lead in very with the passion, and you make it all romantic and sensual. And then go crazy.
Unless you're an beast out, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I mean, each girl is different, so you don't know. Some girls might actually want you to start off wild and crazy and then go in sensual. You know, they might want
to... that's for, like, round two. She probably...
Some girls want you to come in throwing them against the fucking wall.
Yes!
And fucking ripping their shit apart.
That's how you're supposed to do it. Lift legs up.
I've had girls literally, like, start fight with me just so they could get me to fucking, like, fucking bear hug the shit out of them and throw them against the wall and all this. And it's just like...
Oh, no.
That's what they need.
It was, oh, never, nah. Yeah. That's my first Scorpio. And I learned from there. And like, y'all do too much.
You had to say Scorpio.
She was too much for me. I tell you that. I was just like, nah, y'all. We,
bruh.
Like,
the traumas.
Wow.
The sex was worth it.
Yes, definite.
The punches weren't though. Just like she was, Mike Tyson. Sometimes I had to be dodging. Like, hey, girl, what the fuck? I know, that's how I knew she wanted to fuck is when she started throwing punches at me. Like, come on now, can't you just say it with your words? Stop saying it with your fists, girl. Say it with your words. Jesus. Come on now.
Way too aggressive. I would have ended that relationship.
Like, come on now.
Sorry, I'd have been like,
your booty's too soft for you to be this hard, okay?
I'm sorry.
Come on.
I'll be like, here's the boxing gloves when you're ready. Vaseline too. Get the mouth guard. Let's go.
Frenchie would do that too.
Yeah, right there.
Frenchie would.
I like my
Frenchie, the other day I had Frenchie with his legs tied. Like, he couldn't move. And all I was using was my legs. I used my legs to tie and hold his legs down. You see how skinny my legs are compared to his? For an hour, he did not give up. An hour.
That's a long time. They got a lot of time on your hands. That's a long time. I ain't got an hour to be laid up down there like
and
that.
You know
like,
what?
I gotta go. I got shit to do.
I still didn't get it that day either.
Yeah, what the hell you holding him that
all longer? Of that for what? It was your time of month. All of that
time
for out. What?
You was playing around. You know what? Let's not get into it. Next. But kissing the neck.
Yes, kiss on the neck, people. That's all you gotta do.
It works.
If she don't, and I hate to say it, but if this is work for couples who are already doing it and who you don't have consistent consent, okay? And I talk about people who just meeting up for the first time and try to, but. You know, kissing on the neck, if she's like, no, not tonight, no. If you keep kissing on that neck, she might change her mind. That's all I gotta say. Too many experiences where that worked out for the brother here. I'm just being honest with you.
I know, like, I learned really young. Like, I realized that, like, my neck was a sensitive spot for me. And it was just like, I saw it coming.
Mm-hmm.
So when a guy would come up, and I definitely was just like, no, I'm not feeling it. And he was just like, all right, let me get your neck. No. I know where this is going. The answer is no.
That neck.
But you know what? It's the
my
same.
Back.
Neck.
This is when someplace else.
It starts off with the neck.
Hey.
You slide down the back.
You never go ass to mouth, though.
Yeah, you turn it around and then you spread it out and be like, I'm going for this side.
Right? I've never gone to ass, though. I'm telling you. God, I'm waiting for Oprah with the 100 million before I do that. Like, yeah.
He's like, yo, he's really consistent about
quick
this.
Quick side note, real quick. I forgot to tell you this.
What's up?
Remember, well, of course, we had the podcast where, you know, we asked you if you would ever, you know, have sex with Oprah.
Right.
And Frenchie had showed you that picture of Oprah in that, like, dominatrix outfit.
Right.
So, I'm in the office, and my coworker comes up to me, whole different department. He walks up to me, and he goes, so, Oprah looks kind of hot, and shows me the same, not the same exact picture, a different picture of Oprah wearing the same outfit in a different, you know, pose or whatever.
Right.
So, I look at it, and I'm like, hey, you know, I brought up the podcast,
right.
And then I was like, matter of fact, I got the picture we used. I showed it to him.
Uh-huh.
We realized it was two different pictures, but the backgrounds were the same.
Wow. That's crazy.
Like,
that's crazy.
I
actually used the picture to promote that podcast.
Yeah. Yes. And the whole time, he was just like, not for nothing, if Oprah was like this, I would do her.
Right?
I was like, what?
I would have you should have told him, yo, I'll let that butt, $100 million. Like, $100 million. $100 million.
25 for Rihanna, though. As long as they do shit before I get to two shit, it's okay. That's okay. 100 million. I mean, 25 for Rihanna, and she got to be in the movie. She got to be in the movie.
Okay, well, I have a question for you.
Okay.
And I have a question for her.
Okay.
And I know I've done this, but I know, have you ever done a blindfold to your partner, or did you ever blindfold yourself and let them do whatever they want?
No.
Yes.
I have not.
Definite.
Yes.
I have not. I am paranoid like a motherfucker.
That's actually the first time that a dude ate my booty.
Okay, I didn't do that, but I had fun with blindfolds. I had fun with giving girls blindfolds.
Let's point that out. Like, hey guys, that wasn't me.
Yo,
I ain't much of no booty. She ain't got $100 million. I ain't doing that.
I too. So, I want to know what America thinks about that, but that's really how it's. Wow. I mean, I gave her the blindfold.
I was excellent.
I kissed everywhere. Yes. Wow.
Oh.
She's dying over here, ladies and gentlemen.
So, yeah, Frenchie, you said you love it being blindfolded. She was kissing you everywhere.
No. I gave her the blindfold because
I'm
a little bit paranoid. But I said, you know what? I got you. I don't put it on my phone, but I'll put it on you.
I think I've put blindfolds on girls before, but I don't think I've ever put a blindfold on myself.
Oh yeah, I was forced to. I was chained down. Yes, I was chained down.
Never.
And I was blindfolded. It was good. It was a good experience. Something new.
But
I'm never doing it again.
Yeah, never. I haven't been in a real relationship since like in a good maybe 10 years. It's been a lot of flings for a brother over here. Flings and friends
with
benefits.
I have not done any
That's very interesting. I always wondered that. Why would couples, like, it's interesting how freaky you would get with people you don't be with forever, but when you go in a relationship, you don't do all the crazy shit. Why is that? But I'm just saying, like, you know, when you're younger, especially when you're like 17, 18, 19, you know, you have nothing but time to fuck. So just you just figure out all of the shit. And then you get older, you're just like, yo, I got work in the morning, so we got 45 minutes to pull something off real quick. You know what I mean?
Like, shit, I was able to plan.
Like, yeah, now you have to fucking literally schedule fucking sex. This is like.
That is true.
Like, now, like, before it was just like, you know, you could just pull up to the person's crib and just chill and just, you know, that shit could go on all fucking week if y'all wanted to do it. But now it's just like, nah, I can't
now
do it.
Now it would be like, the child is going to get here in 30 minutes.
Like,
you better hurry up.
I can't.
You need to hurry up.
It's like,
right?
Come on.
I'm going to need you to
Yo, why is...
work faster.
But I want to know how America feels about blindfolds. I want to hear some stories.
So, yes, go on Birds and the Bees on Twitter. That's Birds and the Bees with Z at the end. And tell us, do you guys prefer sex with blindfolds? Have you ever had sex with blindfolds? And if you're looking to get some blindfolds for, you know, some kinky stuff, go on kinkycandyonline.com.
They have a lot in different designs. It's very beautiful, very kinky.
They got some silk ones. They got some, you know, I don't think they got any polyester because we don't do polyester.
They got some fuzzy ones.
They got fuzzy ones. They got some, you know, they got some nice ones.
So. Yeah, some good ones on there. Please check it out. Go on the website. Have fun. KingCandyOnline.com. And please go Birds and the Bees with Z at the end.
So, for today's topic, today's main topic, I want to talk about something I read on Twitter. Something I thought was very interesting, because the guy basically outed himself to basically, you know, it made me laugh at first until I found out what this whole thing was about. But, you know, basically, the guy was like, oh, every girl I've ever had sex with never been enthusiastic about sex or, you know, was interested. So that means women aren't interested. Like, no, that means nobody who had sex with you wanted to have sex with you. How did you not figure that out by now, brother? Like, what are you doing over there? Like, all women are not interested in sex. Like, it's just a means to an end for them. They just want to get pregnant and have a kid. Like, what world are you living in? Like,
who
means
is this?
Yeah, for real. I sent you the tweet. Tell me, what the guy's name on the Twitter? So we need to shame this man. We need to boo this man. Boo this motherfucker right here. God. What is this man's name? Because this whole thing is going on because of what's going on with the abortion ban, I believe. I think that's what it's all about. Because actress Alyssa Milano from Charm and a couple other projects, she went on a sex strike saying, you know, I'm not, and other women should not be having sex with a man because, you know, they're trying to ban abortion. And then, you know, somebody was trying to shame her on that, like, oh, I think that was a dumb idea for them to just have, a sex ban. This reminded me of the movie Chirac. You ever seen Chirac with the Spike Lee movie with Nick Cannon? That basically was the plot, but it wasn't about abortion ban. It was basically about gun violence. So, I don't know how that works out in today's day and age. But you know, did you see the tweet? Oh, you're looking at the. I don't know. I don't know how
to open the picture, but I'm looking for the.
This
tweet.
Dude Fred over here showing me the picture, the Photoshop picture of Oprah. Sad, like I didn't
see. Found it again. Like yo, here you go. Like,
yeah, man. This is Oprah looks good in leather. Like I don't know, man. We're Oprah. Yes.
Thank you.
So Lara Witt was what do you call it? It was on Facebook. So the quote was Alyssa Milano's sex strike is liberal garbage, which referenced the sexist notion that women are the gatekeepers of sex and don't actually enjoy it. So they only provide or withhold it with it to manipulate men. And it's also a terrible and ineffective idea because unless you're dating the creepy legislator controlling women's bodies, girls, why would you want to be doing that anyway? That really don't care if you have sex or not, and you're playing into their hands, pointlessly demanding that a nation full of women close their legs. Furthermore, you know, so what to call it? So the guy was, the woman told the guy, you know, Larry Witt, you know, no, I think her tweet was the idea frames sex as something that hetero women are subjected to rather than enthusiastic participants in. Then Brad Anderson goes, I get that point you're trying to make, but I have yet to meet a hetero woman who enthusiastically participates in sex. So, like, you know, like, wow. He told on himself right there.
Basically. Wow.
Like,
bro, what? Like,
if every woman you meet is bored, annoyed, or horrified at the idea of sex with you,
you have to change your ways.
Yeah, the common denominator is you. It's not girls. It's not all women. It's you.
Something's wrong with you in some type of way that does not turn them on. Because from hell to high water...
Well, for starters, you feel like other women, you know, aren't enlightened.
By you.
Sex. Like
there's no way a woman can like sex. Every girl I've ever done it.
Yeah.
She just stares there and look at me.
She sits there.
She calls the cab and calls, you know, she plays Candy Crush while I'm doing her doggy, like... Women don't care about sex. Like, no, bro, they don't care about shit. You. You don't know what you're doing.
This
is
shit.
So, and I, you know, it's crazy.
How many times did you do the walk of shame, bro?
What do you mean walk of shame?
No, how many times they did the walk of shame?
Who?
The women that was in this, that.
Oh.
Or maybe they ain't do no walk of shame. They just, hey, we spent time together.
I don't know. Either or. Guys, I'm telling you now, if every girl you have sex with is not looking like... If she's not making any sounds, and when I say sounds, I don't mean like, no, stop, help, that's bad sounds. I'm talking about, you know, ooh, let's go.
Stop. Please. Hey,
keep going.
Come on now.
She's making good sounds.
You know, and she starts scratching your neck. Don't pull you closer.
Get you tighter.
She's telling you to stop, but she's pulling you closer. You know. But you know, if she's not making those noises, then it's just like
she's not making pleasant.
If
noises.
She goes, yeah.
Yeah.
Go,
oh,
daddy.
Wait.
Go.
If you're going,
go, daddy. No, I mean you could be making noise and still not pleasuring a woman. That don't mean shit.
Yeah.
That don't mean shit.
Oh, could just be fat.
And the dude can think he'd be doing something like, yeah. Yeah, who did? Who could do it? Who could do it?
The funniest thing I ever seen.
And the guy's like,
yo,
you are,
oh my God, the funniest thing.
You are. You are.
Yo, the funniest thing I ever seen.
Yeah, do that, Poppy. Uh huh. Yeah, you got that. You got that, Daddy. Uh huh.
No. Check this out.
Yeah. I got that. I got it.
You got that, Daddy.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
Oh yeah.
Hold on. Quick question. Did y'all see the video? Oh, there was a video going out of a dude going ham on a girl, like real ham on a girl. She was like,
and she was sitting.
No, she was laying down, texting someone saying, "Yeah, girl, just lay down, keep hitting. Yeah, ooh, you're doing well." Texting someone while he's hitting it, and he's going.
I saw a video of one dude going in, and the chick is sitting there making a tutorial, making, like, you know, taking food out the fridge. She was making something to eat. I forgot what she was making to eat. And the whole time, dudes behind her just smack. And she, like, nothing's going on.
Right.
And I'm just like, really?
That's crazy. Really? That's crazy.
She can't even act.
How did we get here from the abortion ban? How did we
get... We didn't even get to the abortion ban, bro.
Yeah, that's what the whole
that's
thing is.
Next. This is about... Damn.
He's so far ahead, he's at the abortion battery.
I was like, wait, how do we get here? Like, I could have sworn we started with Alyssa Milano and the fact that she was, you know, doing a sex strike.
Well, that's what it was.
Yeah, because the whole sex strike is about the abortion, because they believe down south now that women should not have control of their body, then, you know, that they should go ahead and, you know, have the babies.
I actually read somewhere that they're trying to pass a law saying that if you have an abortion, not even that if you have an abortion, if you have a miscarriage, it's a felony.
What?
Yes.
I was reading if you try to leave the state and have an abortion, it's against the law. Like, it don't matter if you was raped, no matter if it's incest, it don't matter.
I don't know if it's true, so like, really quote me on it, and I'll look into it. And
I'm sure it's true.
But one of the states down south, they're like trying to pass a bill saying like, you have a miscarriage, that's a felony.
How the fuck can that? Then that means you better hide your own shit. Be like, fuck it.
Mind you, if you have a miscarriage, a female cannot control that.
Right.
Nobody can control.
Where they go? That's why I'm confused about this whole thing. Like, what are they trying to do now? Like, yeah, you can't now, like, you know how, like, you know who's gonna win the most out of this? The birth control industry is about to rise up like crazy. Like, nobody's gonna afford a baby. They're like, no, the government will lock me up if I try to get rid of this baby. You know what's crazy? If we did that short last week about the abortion, it would mean something completely different now in this context of what's going on in this climate right now. You know, it's actually out of control, and it just, like, it doesn't make any sense, because it's just, like, how is this possible? I generally believe, like, things are about to change for the worse. Like, if this is what they're doing now, just for women's bodies and reproductive rights, imagine what's next. Next, they're going to control how we have sex. Like, they're already trying to control who we have sex with. You know, like, I always tell people, that's not my fight for gay rights or whatever, but yeah, there's a chance, they're reversing a lot of laws, so there's a chance a couple of gay dudes' marriage is not even considered legal anymore, mm-hmm. You know?
And this isn't the first time that, like, they try to come out and say, like, all right, look, you know, there's been laws passed around, like, all these gay marriages, they're not legal. Like, there's been a couple of times that, like, couples that I know, like, have, like, worried, like, yo, like, are we even legally married or not?
Yeah, that's sad, man.
It really is.
Like, if this is what I think it is. Love is not supposed to be, it's supposed to be who you want to be with for the rest of your life with. It doesn't matter if it's a man or female. If
you can find love, who am I to tell you otherwise?
Like, let's be real.
Yes, love is hard to find. Exactly. And you find somebody that you love and they love you and they're trying to make things work and it's consistent and y'all ready to commit. And hey, do what it do.
Do what you gotta do.
Because that is hard to find. And if you find somebody who's willing to do that with you, then hey.
That's what I'm saying.
See, like, and it's find someone.
If you could find somebody that makes you happy, like, whether it's a male or female, transgendered, like, I work with every and all types of people.
See, that's another thing. Then we hear about, I don't want to make you happy. I want you to naturally be happy.
Right.
That's how.
Just be happy with whoever likes you, and don't try to push it on other people. Because I found out about this vlogger, makeup dude or whatever. He was trying to push up on heterosexual dudes, and he was, like, violating and, you know, harassing straight guys. And now he's losing, like, millions of followers and everything
I heard about that too.
I forgot his name. A lot of people have to forget his name.
Yeah, but I forgot his name, too. But, a lot of people.
You know, if you want people to respect you and your sexuality, respect other people's sexuality, okay? Like, I'm a straight guy, and I've hanged around gay people, I will let them know, like, hey, guys,
I respect you.
Yeah, right? I respect you guys as long as I don't care if you're white, black, gay, straight. It doesn't matter. As long as you respect me, I respect you. You know? That's all it is, you know? Speaking of gay rights and gay marriage, you know Arthur, the show Arthur? Remember Arthur?
Yeah.
On PBS?
Yeah.
You know, so I didn't even know they still make episodes, but they're still making episodes. The episode is like 800 episodes or whatever right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in this new episode, one of Arthur's teachers is getting married to another man. They're doing gay weddings now on Arthur. I found that so interesting. I was like, well, look how far TV has gone.
And you're doing it to my child. Okay,
though.
I see nothing wrong with it.
I don't see nothing wrong with it.
Kids are going to figure it out either or. Because when I was a kid, I figured about gay people early on. Because one, you know, my actual last name is gay. So when people were laughing, I had to figure out why they were laughing. That's one. And two, I'll never forget it. My mom had this book. My mom had a curious mind. That's where I get it from. But, you know, I think she was at a flea market, and it was, like, books for a dollar, and one of the books there was, like, how to book for gay parents to raise a kid, or whatever, so, right? And I'm looking at the cover, and my mom, that's how interesting my mom was. This is before the internet, where you could just look up stuff. You know, so, you know, if you were curious about something, you had to buy a book and look into it. Even if it wasn't about your lifestyle, you just was curious. Sure, because my mom was not gay at all. Yeah, she was just really, I asked her about it on the kid. I was like, Mom, you're not gay. Why you have this book? She's like, I'm curious. I want to know what it says. You know, how do gay people raise kids? What's the difference between gay parents raising their kids, you know? And, you know, and as a kid, I remember that. So, growing up, I wasn't weirded out by gay people because I knew they existed from Jump Street. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I'm upset that they're showing it, because showing gay people is not going to make your kid gay, because I saw gay people and I did not turn gay once.
Exactly.
So I'm like, I don't think that's how that works, guys. I don't think it works where you see gay people, now you're gay. I don't think that works. Now, if you're telling them that, okay, you're a gay kid, then I think that's a little different. But, you know, that's not the conversation we're having. And I hope that's not the conversation you're having at home, telling your kids that they're gay. You know, let everybody be whatever sexual preference they want to be. Let them figure it out themselves.
Yeah, let them figure out themselves, but I would say at the right age limit. Kids be kids. Like, let them be kids. At an age limit, then you can start, like, cracking down and doing everything else, but
at the end of the day, I can tell you, I don't see myself falling in love with no man, you know. And I watched a lot of gay stuff growing up. What do you call it? Was gay? Well, I'm trying to think of other stuff. So, like, Mr. Ogilvy, I always knew he was gay. He remember?
Oh, Stanley Ogilvy, the actor.
Yeah. And I had this woman who used to be my tutor.
Feminine.
He was very feminine. I had a woman who she was the dancer for the Alan Ailey company or whatever. So she knew dealt with a lot of celebrities, and she would just tell me all the time which celebrity was gay. And I was like, no way. She's like, yeah, Uncle Phil, he's gay. And I was like, what? Uncle Phil? Yeah, really?
The cop from
Family. But you know, Uncle the cop Phil from had family. He had his moments too.
What?
Uncle Phil.
Uh huh.
Every now and then, I saw. He had his moments.
There was one blooper when the dude from Mr. Jefferson came on the show, and Will Smith and him were kidding around, and then the blooper, and they're like, yeah, he taught you a lie? Like, yeah, he told me, like, yeah, what he told you? He told me how to beep. And the audience, you know, everybody laughing and shit, but I was like, what did you teach you, Uncle Phil? What was that? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. You know, seen RuPaul. I seen RuPaul a lot growing up. You don't see me cross-dressing right now.
The very first time I seen RuPaul.
Where?
The very first time I saw RuPaul was in that episode of Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
I forgot RuPaul was in there.
That's the very first time I saw RuPaul, and I promise you, when I first saw her, I'm sorry, she was in full drag, and I was like, that's not a woman. And I was like, but it looks like a woman. And I was like, I'll go with it.
I remember seeing RuPaul in a Spike Lee movie called Crooklyn. It was a dude who owned a bodega, and, you know, his woman was RuPaul. And I just remember there was a scene where they're dancing, and a little girl's just staring at RuPaul. And I'm like, what's going on here? And I'm looking at RuPaul, and I'm like, huh, something's not right about it. And I see... a tight dress, I see boobs, but that face, I don't know what's going on there. And it was at least 20 years before I saw RuPaul outside of drag. 20 years went by before I saw RuPaul with just no wig, no makeup, and a suit. And I was like, if they didn't tell me that was RuPaul, I would have never known it. Like, what?
You know, when I first saw it, like, it's still in the same episode, mm-hmm. Is when I saw they had her out of drag,
uh-huh.
And I saw without the wig, the right. suit, and I was just like, I knew it! I don't know how they did it, but I knew it! But even then, I remember, like, not even understanding what was going on. I just thought that they just put him into, like,
mm-hmm.
an outfit, and it was just like, oh, they did a really good job. And then, like, growing up, I didn't realize, like, years later, mm-hmm. I saw RuPaul with his own show and everything, mm-hmm. and I was like, okay.
You know what I realized after a while? In media, there's this, you know, there's this trans... there's a homophobia against, you know, trans people and gay people. It's, you know, like, when I think of movies like Hangover 2, when the dude found out he had sex with a tranny, you know what I mean? Okay. Like, granted, I think I would probably react the same way. No. I was like, no, Jesus, no, why? But, you know, like, what made me think about this, because, you know, there was this video I saw at the Museum of Sex. I kid you not. This dude was getting ahead from another dude, and then he killed him with a giant hammer and just beats his head in. And when I was telling one of the people that worked there about it, I was like, that's very disturbing. Why the hell are we playing this here? That's not, you know, it's part of the punk exhibit. And I'm just like, that's a very gross thing to, you know, put on. And she was like, yeah, that's horrible, because back in the day, you know, when, because, you know, gay was all illegal and stuff like that, you know, people, you know, gay guys being killed left and right. Guys would show up and wait for dudes to do gay shit and then kill them. Mm-hmm. And I heard they do that right now in Russia.
They still do that now here.
Oh, that's crazy.
It's in the news. Like, you know, like there was one time a couple of years ago, there was one guy going around on the gay, like, apps. Mm-hmm. And he would just meet up with, like, gays at, like, hotels, motels or whatever, and mm-hmm. just kill them in the room.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. That's scary as hell.
That's mm-hmm. fucked up.
That's crazy as hell.
For somebody to be, just because, I'm not, okay, look.
Hey, man, I believe
there's stories in like, down south with it going on. I follow this this transgender woman on Instagram, mm-hmm. and she's down south, and she's like, she had posted a post, and she was like, you know, RIP, another one down, you know, another transgender woman down, because she, you know, mm-hmm. the guy found out she's transgender.
Right.
Like,
it's sad. It's fucked up.
But, you know.
My thing is, you know me, guys, I'm a Christian at heart, you know, I may not be the best Christian of all time, you know, probably one of the, I'm not one of the worst, but I'm not one of the greatest ones either, but, you know. What I believe in, I'm not going to sit here and beat you over the head with it and tell you, hey, you better live according to this book. But I got to live according to the book the way I, you know, it's my life, I got to live it the way I got to live it. You know, if you want to live that life, that's your choice. You know, we all have that God-given right to make a choice in our life, and that's the life you want to live, that is your choice. I will not deny you of your pleasures for that, you know. As long as you don't try to fuck me, we all get a dandy, all right?
Facts.
We all get a dandy. I'll show you all the love in the world, just like you're my own brother or sister, all right? We can sit here, we can talk movies, we can talk musicals, we can talk art. We can talk anything. We can even talk about sex, as long as we don't get into too much details. We can even talk about sex, you know. It's just, you know, like that, like, whatever, that guy who sent the email about the prostate toys.
Yeah,
prostate massage and all that stuff. It was like, whew, I wasn't ready for that one. But, you know, we had that conversation, so, you know. I'm down to talk, just, you know, don't cross the boundaries, you know, and
keep it in the talking.
And way. I feel like for guys, straight guys who can't deal with that, because I've been around a lot of guys who are very homophobic. They're like, no, I can't be around them. Those are, you know, they all say the F word like crazy or whatever. It took me forever to be like, yo, you can't say the F word. But, you know, it's like, you know, they can't do it. They're like, nah, bruh, I can't believe, you know, like, I remember one guy who was like, oh, I'll never see a Tyler Perry movie. Screw Martin Lawrence. Screw Tyler Perry for putting on dresses and da 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 da. And I'm like, you know, is that, you know, did it really fuck up your life that bad? Mm-hmm. To see them in a dress? Mm. You know? Yeah, like, I used to think it was funny, but it's not funny anymore. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, at one point I thought I subscribed to that, but then, you know, look, I rewatched White Chicks. You know, mm-hmm. Big Mama's House, the first one. Mm-hmm. You know, The Clumps. Mm-hmm. You know, Tyler Perry, Madea, Annie Madea. It's just like, come on now. You can't tell me that stuff wasn't funny.
Norbit.
Right? Oh, I love Norbit. I love Norbit. People want to talk shit about my, like, come on now.
Nutty Professor.
Like, oh, fuck the drag queen. And like, y'all just hating. You know, if you don't like it, don't watch it. Even if that. You know, my straight ass is gonna go watch it, no matter what. So it's just like, hey, man, you know, I'll be fine. I'm telling you now. I don't think I'm gonna wake up tomorrow like, you guys, you know what I need tomorrow? I think I'm gonna get me a dress and a wig. You know, I think I want to go out and dread the dress.
I think if we were to ever get that phone call, we would stop everything. We're like, all right, bro, we're gonna have to sit down and talk. We're not going anywhere. I need to get this dress. We'll take you to get the dress. Let's just sit down and talk for a little bit, right? Like, wait. Let's have our talk.
Is it for you or somebody else? Like, we gotta ask questions about this. Like, what's the usage of this dress?
I want to put the dress on. All right, wait, come on.
No, we're staying away from malls today.
It's so pretty.
I got a dance for it. Yes, doctor, I need your help.
Oh, we would.
I need to send him direct. No, we go into the hospital now.
Give me the best doctors.
Help me out now. Make sure.
And we're only I know we're making jokes here, people, but the joke is they will only do that because they know I'm a straight guy, and as a straight guy, I wouldn't do that. That doesn't mean if you were a gay person, you had those thoughts, you decided to get a dress, that somebody needs to call the hospital or the cops on you.
Please, no.
That's not what we're saying.
That's
here.
Not what we're saying. I feel like
I should make that clear.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Just let people know. Much. Like,
I mean, I've actually gone with my gay friends to go pick out dresses. Like, I've
never gone shopping with my gay friends, but I've definitely
been
around gay friends, watching them put makeup on, put on dresses and stuff like that. I've definitely been around that. Mm-hmm. My best friend from day one, you know, when the first time we did it, he forgot I was there because I was filming, and he was like, "Oh snap, this is the first time you wear makeup. I can't believe you're filming." You know, he's like, "Is this weird for you?" I'm like, "The only thing that's weird is like you're not throwing the middle finger up to the camera like you used to." That's the only thing that's weird right now.
And you know, not for nothing, a lot of like really good makeup artists are gays. They be doing their thing. I be watching. I watch like alone. I'm not even into makeup. I don't. When do you ever see me wearing makeup?
Right.
Like never. And I'm. Once when do blue. I wear makeup?
Once in a blue.
Listen. You listen. The moon has to be really, really blue
and shiny.
All right, really blue.
Nice.
But I'll sit there and watch tutorials on YouTube, random, and it's just like, oh, you doing your thing. Oh, a lot of them.
Well, that was this episode of The Birds and the Bees. We hope you learned a thing or two. This week we have a special call to action. You know, I don't know how much help we can do when it comes to this whole abortion ban thing, but the best thing I can say is to, like, hey, spread the word that this is going on. Everybody over here talking about Game of Thrones and not focusing on the fact that if you get a girl pregnant in certain states, there's a chance that she will go to jail if y'all try to get rid of it, you know? Like, I'm not, you know, like we said when we were talking about the abortion thing, you know, I'm not sure if I'm pro-choice or if I'm anti-abortion. I'm not sure what it is, you know. I always say it depends on the situation you're in, you know, because my mom is the most Christian woman on this planet, and as soon as she thought I was about to have a baby when I was 17 years old, she was like, get rid of that shit, get rid of it. Thank God, you know, and that's to say thank God we had a miscarriage, but you know,
that's a felony.
Right, a miscarriage, and if that happened today, sure, the girl who was supposed to have my seed probably could go to jail. And that's crazy, y'all. That's fucking crazy.
Can you imagine, like, being like a female? I am a female. I can't even picture myself being in jail, like, what you went for. I had a miscarriage.
Like, yo. Like,
really? Me too.
Shit. That shit changes everything. Everything.
Who came up with that law?
Just a whole bunch of white guys.
As females, it would screw us over because we wouldn't, like, what if we know that we're pregnant? Mm-hmm. Like, we wouldn't even go to the doctors because we wouldn't, like,
yeah, that's gonna risk.
Exactly.
That's gonna make it
hot.
I'm gonna
wait until, like, the, you know, sixth, seventh month. Like, for a definite fact, yeah, I'm gonna have it. All right, we're going to the doctors. Yeah, I think I'm pregnant.
Like, clearly, there's not a burrito in there.
What? You're not constipated, darling.
It just keeps growing. Keeps growing. Wait, the belly button popped out? Wait, that's a sign.
So, it's... I hate to sit here, but you gotta be careful, ladies, because that's not the way things are supposed to be. Where you gotta be careful because you know not having a baby now can mean jail time. So what I want to say is, ladies and gentlemen, write to whoever the fuck you gotta write to, and stop this shit, all right? Because, you know, not everybody is on, you know, gonna want to follow, you know, the way, like, I, you know, like I said, I'm a Christian man, so I'm gonna be like, we gotta have the baby. But everybody wanna live their life, because, you know, not everybody wanna have a baby. The babies are expensive. Too expensive. I'm not trying to have a baby until at least a millionaire. I need at least 20 million. All right? Kids are expensive. All right? So, you know, do something, because right now it may not concern you today, but tomorrow you may get pregnant and you have no, you got to figure something out. Like, oh, we're going to have this baby, or we're going to have to be criminals or go on the run. You know? And that's not sexy at all. All right? That's not, you know, I bet everybody's going to have a plan B now in the crib. And your brother's like, nah, baby, you gonna take this.
Condoms.
You gonna have to take it. Like, I'm telling you, the only people who's gonna win out of this is the fucking, what do you call it, companies. The companies that fucking sell
birth control.
Birth control industry is gonna go up the roof.
What if they're doing this because condoms are, like, free now?
Yeah, but condoms don't even also protect you from everything. Like, I was watching this movie. It's interesting that I'm having this conversation. I was writing an article about this on my website. And it's crazy because I was trying to wrap this up, but here we are going to one more conversation. But I was rewatching the movie Booty Call for the first time in years.
Wow. Time out.
Yes. I wasn't ready for that.
Yes.
Let me get to it. Wasn't ready for my reaction, okay. Ladies and gentlemen.
So I haven't watched Booty Call in years. Like, I saw it one time on Comedy Central, and it was like the end of the movie, right? And it was one scene that I, you know, because I was a kid, I didn't pick up on everything. But now that as an adult, I was able to watch the whole movie through and pick up on everything now. So the whole movie is about Tommy Davidson and Jamie Foxx trying to have sex with these two girls, Vivica and Foxx. And, I can't remember the other actor's name. His name was Tamara Harris. I can't remember her name right now. Let me get it for you guys. But in the film, you know, they're getting ready to have sex. And Tommy Davidson's condom gets messed up, you know. Like they're going the dog basically ripped it apart.
Yes.
But you know, they what do you call it? Tamala Jones, that's the name. So Tommy Davidson, Vivica Foxx, Jamie Foxx, Tamala Jones. So Jamie Foxx and Vivica Foxx, you know, they got themselves hot and heavy real early. So and then eventually, you know, Tommy was able to do his thing with his girl. So she's like, you know, put the condom on. He had a condom and the condom, you know, messed up. And she's like, you're not putting that in me. He's like, you know, a dog's mouth is cleaner than, you know, the humans. And she's like, nah, you better go. And what made me really respect this movie is how responsible they were when it came to sex. Because you watch a lot of TV shows, you know, a lot of movies where, one, you barely ever seen them put on a condom, you know. And they never even acknowledge if they're having safe sex or not, you know what I mean? Like, you know, granted, shows like Insecure may mention, like, oh, look in the corner on the side, you see there's condoms on the bedstead. But nobody looking over there. Niggas paying attention to the sex scene.
Right.
They don't know if them fucking condoms were put on or not. You know what I mean? So, and Booty Call, they were, like animate on the, like, baby, you need to go get condoms, and then you go get the condom, you go get the lambskin, because that's all that was there. And you know, it's crazy because as a kid I didn't know nothing about lambskin condom, but as an adult, I know about it, I've used it, and you know, I've been with girls who can't, you know, who are allergic to latex or have to get lambskin. So when they're like, yo, it's $40, they're like, $40, you know, it hit me hard watching the movie, like, holy shit, that's true, that shit did cost me $40. Holy shit, this movie is fucking relevant as fuck for 20 years old.
Oh god, that I love relevant that movie. When I was
this movie is so relevant. So relevant.
Thank you.
So I'm watching it, and you know, he comes back with the lambskin, and she's like, babe, that doesn't, you know, that may protect us from babies, but that's not gonna protect us from STIs and STDs and da 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 da. And I gotta go back. And I'm just like, yo, this movie is so fucking responsible. Like, holy shit. It works with the story, because, you know, the whole story is about him trying to hit it. You know, they didn't have to make it all about the condoms. They could have made it like he go outside, get stuck outside.
Oh, that's
all
what
night.
Jamie it was doing like on the other side. They were like, I would like to say
a couple would experience when they were going to have sex. Right. Like, and shit's just fucking up.
Right. You know, I just, like, I really appreciated that movie. Like, that's a responsible movie, because I've seen a lot of...
I haven't actually seen the movie.
I love that movie.
Because if you look at a lot of sex comedy now, a lot of them are very irresponsible if you think about it. Like, a lot of stuff is people will go to jail for it in sex comedies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I was looking at Animal House. You know, we talked about it recently. Revenge of the Nerds. Mm-hmm. There was a scene that basically the dude raped her. You ever seen Revenge of the Nerds?
Yes.
You never seen Revenge of the Nerds? So, Revenge of the Nerds. The nerds is getting back at the jocks, right? And one of the cheerleaders was dating a guy, one of the jocks, and for Halloween or something, he dressed as Darth Vader. So the geek took his costume and basically have sex with the girl in the Darth Vader costume. And she don't even fucking call the cops. She don't fucking go into shock. She just goes, oh, okay. And just fucking falls for the nerd. But it's like, that's basically rape. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And, you know, there was a scene when they hooked up cameras in the girl's house, seeing them naked. I'm like, that would be considered revenge porn right now, I bet. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Another movie, I think it's 16 Candles. Dude, the guy's getting drunk, and the guy's like, yo, man, that girl right there, she's so passed out, you can violate her in 10 different ways. And they help, and the guy helped him put the girl in the car. And they drive, and the guy drives off with the girl. And we have no clue what the fuck happened. Mm. But that's the guy, one of the lead stars that we all supposed to love. I'm like, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Wow.
Irresponsible. Mm-hmm. You know? And especially the shit that I used to thought was funny, no longer funny. The dog cum scene. And fuck, Dotcom and Van Wilder?
Oh, yeah.
That's not, like, that's actually fucking horrible.
Oh, yeah.
That's fucking horrible.
I was about to shoot.
Like, yeah. That's a lawsuit. You get like, nigga, you gotta go down for that. You gotta go to jail.
Yeah, right. The dark side of me is like, revenge is sweet.
Like, God. Yes. Yeah. Sure. Like,
Yeah, that creamy special sauce. They were just
slurping all of that. So, yeah, guys. If you're gonna make sex comedies, romantic comedies, make them responsible.
Just like Booty Call.
Just like
Jamie Foxx cut the check. Send a shout out.
And just like sex, be responsible.
Definitely.
Because now there's a chance that they're gonna put y'all in jail. Especially, and I hate to make it a race thing, but you know, if you look at the area that they're doing this, there's a whole bunch of black areas. So be careful out there, y'all. Until next time, much love, God bless, two pieces of chicken grease. We'll see you another time.
Night.
Later.
Hey, everybody. I just wanted to give you guys the heads up that this will be the last episode of the Birds and the Bees podcast. And I should give you the heads up, there will be a new series replacing this one called The Kinky Candy Store. But as of now, this is the last episode of the Birds and the Bees, and we'll be right back next week with a new show. Thanks for following and supporting.